to speak to us this morning. Malachy, at our invitation, you're on the radio. I'd like to hear what you have to say about this. You would have seen Fry last night. What did you think?
I thought he was brilliant, and I thought Gay Byrne, for a man, looked quite flummoxed by it, because Gay is a bit like, you know, your granddad is always asking you why you don't go to Mass anymore, you know. But, I mean, what Fry is dealing with is what has been discussed by theologians for centuries, and it's the problem of evil. If there's a benign, good, loving God who created the world and put us in it, then why did he make it such a horrible place in so many ways? And there have been many different efforts to try and answer that question. In some religious traditions, they would say, well, good and evil are rivals within the world, that Satan looks after, you know, Satan and God are perpetually at odds with each other, and that's part of the problem. Others would say, I mean, within the Hindu tradition, people, they would say that actually there's no evil in the world, it's all an illusion, it's not really there at all, that everything we live through is an illusion, and that if we, you know, if we are enlightened, then we grow out of that illusion and see things differently. You get ideas like that turning up even within Christianity as well. I mean, Julian of Norwich said, you know, that we live in the best of all possible worlds. All things are well, and all manner of things are well, whatever the precise words you use. But in a sense that we've got it wrong, the fault is in our seeing, you know, which, you know, would be hard to tell to the caller you just had who talked about the 35-year-old son who died, you know, that she somehow misunderstood what had happened.
There was one guy on a little earlier, and he made a point about God creating everything perfectly. Adam and Eve obviously fell at the first hurdle, and as a result, everything became contaminated. Now, I asked him why God would have allowed that to happen, and the suggestion being that God created man and the universe in these 6 days, and he rested on the 7th day, and he handed it over to us, and we made a hens of it. And he's not an unreasonable puppeteer. He is, but someone who has given us control of this earth, and we are failing, or many are failing as they go through. But also that everything to do with life was corrupted, and that explains Fry's comment where God allowed an insect to be created that burrows into the eyes of children to make them make them blind. That's really the fault of Adam and Eve, as opposed to God.
Well, you get that in Hinduism and Buddhism as well, the idea that it's karma, that we reincarnate, and it's the things that we did wrong in a previous lifetime coming back to bite us. You know, that ultimately there's a system of justice. You know, I don't, you know, to me these are the fairy stories we were told in primary school. You know, I know the theological reasoning, you know, that God allows us free will and we exercise free will, and we get into bother over it. But I don't think that there's a theologian really who could stand forward and say, well, now we've got the answer to this. We've got it sorted. I do think that where a lot of, you know, where Fry annoys me a wee bit, and where a lot of religious people annoy me even more, is that they're so confident in their conclusion. I mean, Fry was saying last night that there's no space for agnosticism, that's self-delusion. Whereas I say, no, I am an agnostic.
Yeah,
I
just
really
explain, but just on that, Malachy, explain the difference between agnostics and atheists.
Well, the atheist says, I know there is no God. You know, the God, you know, the argument that he puts up is the Bertrand Russell argument. Do I know that there isn't a teapot orbiting Venus? You know, a fanciful notion. Well, I don't know that there isn't a teapot, you know, but there's no room in my life for this question, therefore I just decide that there isn't a teapot orbiting Venus and be done with it. The agnostic says, you know, I actually do not know. I do not know the answer to this. I have to live my life with what Wordsworth called the burden of the mystery. You know, I actually do not know why I am here on this earth. If the word question why even has a meaning, you know, I obviously have to make meaning out of my life, myself, out of the gifts and inclinations that I have and the opportunities that arise. But still, I sit down at times and think to myself, an under goodness or whatever. How did this happen?
So is there a possibility?
That's a valid question, I think.
Yeah, but is there a possibility that a lot of us are agnostics, but we just bet on the side of there being a God just in case?
Well, that's another theologian's argument. That's Blaise Pascal, you know, Pascal's wager. You know, he says, you know, if you take the gamble that there's no God and there is, then you're in bigger trouble than if you take the gamble the other way around and gamble that there is a God. You know, if there isn't a God and you act as if there is, then you will die and death will be the end, and you won't even know that you were wrong because you will cease to exist. But if you gamble, if you say there is no God and I defy the laws of God as imparted to me, then and I'm wrong about that, then I'm going to be up before the pearly gates, and Peter will have the ledger in front of him, and he'll look down there and he'll say, "Oh, Malachy O'Doherty, oh, I see here, right, that's you down below." You know,
that's
not moral. I mean, what the agnostic says is, I want to be honest about the condition I am in, and the condition I am in relation to the larger context of humanity and the universe is ignorance. I do not know. That is honest. The other thing, playing gambling games like this Pascal is stupid and has no philosophical or moral foundation of any sense to it. And the other idea of just believing something because a pastor in front of a book, you know, because, you know, somebody says this is in the book, this is in the Bible, therefore you believe it. Well, I'll say, well, the Hindus have their book, the Buddhists have their book, the Sikhs have their book, you know, the Choctaw of their book. I mean, why would I believe your book before theirs? So we are left with the mystery and the burden of the mystery, and we do not know, and I don't think we ever can know.
So the answer to the question I was going to ask you there with regards to the pearly gates, Gabe Byrne made reference to them, you remarked on them as well. Do you think you'll ever be standing at them?
That's what I'm saying, I don't know.
You don't know?
I very much doubt that the things will be as the fairy tales that we construct define them and describe them. I very, very, you know, I'm almost certain that's not how it will be. You know,
you're certain that you don't know, or you're almost certain
that certain. I don't know.
Malachy is.
And I'm certain that you don't know either, Frank.
I'm only here to listen. Thank you, Malachy.
All the best now.
Cheers. Bye. Bye. Totally only here to listen.